me standing still.
Show. This is Ralph Kermit Winterow II out of Alaska and Mark Mays out of Oklahoma, and you're going to hear the pure unmitigated truth. You're going to hear issues that law that nobody will talk about. They won't talk about it. Why? We either tell the truth or we don't. Melissa, you got a question or comment?
Okay, hi there. Okay, good evening. Well, actually, it's not quite evening yet. Good afternoon. I have, I guess, a couple of questions and then a comment, if you will allow, and I'll stay off topic and then I'm going to go off topic. So my on-topic question for you is, those of us, or those, I should say those without income, and I'm just speaking broadly of income. I'm not speaking of your definition of income. I'm speaking broadly of income. Let me just put it this way. The IRS gives us the opportunity to apply for an earned income tax credit, which you have probably heard of. Okay? If we are eligible for an earned income tax credit, if we're eligible for basically getting a refund from the IRS, or getting a check from the IRS, should we have an ethical dilemma with doing that?
Are you talking about like the stimulus check?
Well, I'm talking also about the stimulus check, but generally speaking, there's something called the earned income tax credit that my uncle has always encouraged me to apply for, but somebody in my Bible study told me all about the income tax.
Okay, let me stop and ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
Do you work for yourself or somebody else?
Both. Okay.
Do you fill out a W-4?
I am sent W-2s, but somebody else does do my paperwork for me.
W-2 is what comes back. W-4, if you're working for somebody else, they're going to ask you to fill out a W-4.
Okay.
Okay, if you're
I understand your questions, but my question for you is, should I have an ethical dilemma with applying for the earned income tax credit?
Well, the earn, okay, now this is on, you want to put this on a Form 1040?
Maybe not, both scenarios. Are you telling me that if I got an earned income tax credit, I'd have to fill out a 1040? Is that what you're saying, that it causes me to be eligible to do that?
I don't know what you're going to use this earned tax credit for.
Earned income tax credit.
Yeah, okay, but what do you have to, don't you have to fill out a Form 1040 and use that on a Form 1040 to get money back?
I believe that the 1040 or one of those forms is a means by which to receive that. Yes, I believe you do have to fill out a form. They don't just automatically send it to you. You do have to request it.
Have you been filing a Form 1040?
Yeah, I believe I have. I mean, somebody else does my paperwork for me, but I believe that's what we've been doing.
Here's the real short story, and you can listen to it if we get time, the show. First of all, if you are working for somebody to get them to stop legally taking out the new ones, I haven't looked at the 2021, but the form, the W-4 2020 that you give to your employer has to be modified by you. You have to write exempt on it, physically. And you send it back, and that's your modifying their, what's called an implied in law offer. They want you to volunteer to give them money, and you write back that I am exempt from volunteering, and as soon as they accept that, that stands in law. That's the first thing that needs to be done with your employer. And then if you run into any issues, get a hold of me, and I can assist you with what to do. It's been working. It's only been done four times. And every time it's had success, it stopped a guy taking money out. And then after the end of the year, they started taking money, so he's got to reapply that. So that's the first thing. You never file zero returns, okay? So if you want to step out, and the other side is if you're doing working for yourself, you don't do anything. You just leave it alone. You do not volunteer. Because number one, the agencies, this is what people can't seem to get quite understand yet. Congress and legislatures do statutes, even though they're not constitutional, and that's another issue, but we'll just say they are. Agencies are mandated to only talk to you and me through regulations published in the Federal Register. They can't talk to us any other way. Even though they do, they can't. They ask the Congress say so, the Federal Register say so. The Federal Register says only the regulations by an agency that's filed in the Federal Register will be judicially noticed, and they can't move unless we have notice through the Federal Register. And that's a fact. And they use code sections. The agencies have no authority to use a code section in any letter to you because they are specifically mandated to only use regulations that are in the Federal Register, and then the regulations that are in the Federal Register, they have a procedure to make them have the forced effect of law, and I have yet to see one yet. It's a con. Okay? So now, to answer your question, if you're working for somebody, get a hold of IRS at AlaskaMinuteman.com. I'll send you the W-4, and I'll explain it to you. And try it. Thank you. You're not going to go to jail. Nothing's going to happen. The only worst thing that happen is somebody's going to say no, and I can deal with that. But you have to see what their response is. Okay? That's the
first
thing.
So you haven't said that we should have an ethical dilemma with doing it. It's an experiment to see whether it works. Is that what you're saying?
I've got four people that it's worked for. And it's legal. Okay. And I can defend it. And I can explain it to you. I can't explain the total thing on the air, but it's perfectly legal. It's called an implied law. Look, first of all Internal Revenue Service is called implied in law. And what that means is they want you to volunteer to owe them money because they have no statutory authority, because they can't use it, and the regulations that they promulgate doesn't have the forced effect of law. It's all a big con. But you need to understand, and I would highly recommend getting on my IRS list and start getting the information, and especially get the Mooney's case. And it's difficult, but start to understand who they are. They can only talk through regulations put in the Federal Register. That is the key. You've got to remember that. And they don't do that because they can't. Because if they do, they lose. Okay.
Ralph, let me explain a little bit what Melissa was initially asking about earned income tax credits. This is typically where a single parent has children, and at the end of the year, there's a special form that they file with their IRS taxes that gives them additional money back, and in some cases, more than what they paid into the tax system. And so and Melissa can correct me if I'm wrong, she's wondering how can she file exempt from having anything withheld and whether she can then still turn around and file for earned income tax credits that the government would pay her back additional money.
I would say it ain't going to work. You got to be one. You got to be on one side or the other, and you'll probably save more money by not donating any money.
Right.
So, Melissa, right. What I think what Ralph's saying is, you got to look at how much are you paying into the federal income tax on an annual basis, and then look at how much money you're getting back at the end of the year.
Yeah,
most people think they're getting a tax refund, and they're actually getting a refund of overpayment. But on the earned income tax credits, in some cases, people are getting more money back than what they actually paid in federal taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to look at what you're surrendering.
Now, let me throw this on top of that. If you're getting refunds, 100% of what you paid in federal taxes, and you want to check with your tax expert, but if you're getting all your money back and plus some, you're basically exempt. And there is inside the system, that's not what Ralph's talking about, but inside the system, you can claim you're exempt. I mean, why should you pay federal taxes out all through the year, knowing that you're going to get it all back when you file taxes the next year, right? So if I'm paying, you know, $7,000 in federal taxes throughout the year, and I know at the end of the year I'm going to get that $7,000 back if I file a 1040, plus I'm going to get earned income tax credits on top of that, why would you pay those federal taxes and just get them all back when you could claim exempt? Now, that's inside the system. If you're going to be, you know, a citizen of the United States and you're going to be inside the system and all that, then you could still file exempt and you could still partake in the tax credits if you qualify for it. But again, I would refer you back to a tax expert. What Ralph's talking about is if your citizenship status is different and you're outside of that system and you file exempt because you should not have any taxes withheld, federal taxes withheld, then you wouldn't file a tax return at the end of the year because you're outside of that system based on your citizenship status. So there's two ways to look at it.
You can get stimulus checks without doing IRS, because I did. You don't have to file IRS to get a stimulus check. Now, to get extra money for the children, I would presume that the same thing would apply true, that you do not have to file for them. Because if you get stimulus checks for you without filing, because I already done it, and I know other people that have done it too that are not filing, and they got a stimulus check. So the earned, if it has to do with the stimulus side of life, I would presume you're still going to get that extra money for your children, okay? I don't know that for a fact, but I would say it's about a 98% chance of being true, okay?
Yeah, okay, all right, if you're finished with response, okay, can we move on to my next question? Are you ready?
Okay, what is it?
Okay. Change of subject to vaccinations. I know that there's plenty of discussion on the network about vaccinations, but I've got a question that you might be able to answer because everybody hangs in different circles. I want to know if you have come across that there is a vaccination goal, G-O-A-L, if there are actual goals for how many vaccinations have been given, and is there one website that we can find the goal on, or is there a goal in the different states? Because I think it may be in your neck of the woods this is happening. Definitely in my neck of the woods it's happening, that people are voluntarily lining up to take them, and they don't have to, you know, give out gift cards or, you know.
Are you talking about COVID-19?
Yes.
You know what my response is? I go to my homepage. I have two videos on the nose swabs and on the vaccinations. And absolutely, under positively, under no circumstances, could you give me a vaccination? And under absolutely no positively, under no condition, would I have a nose swab? Because both of them are not the true vaccinations as we think of them in the past. These are modifications that are put into our body to modify our DNA. And the best way to explain it is our two great experts, and there's people dying from taking vaccinations. They're not telling us this, but go. There's two videos on my homepage, AlaskaMinuteMan.com. Go watch them. I think that'll answer all your questions. And you couldn't give me a vaccination, and you couldn't give me a nose swab. Thank you very much, but I plan on 79.
I understand that. My question to you is, do you happen to know if there are numbers attached to the vaccinations? In other words, like if a state requests 500,000 vaccinations, if a state requests the 500,000 doses, are they doing that with the understanding that they are, that 10% of those are going to be left unused? Are they doing that with the understanding that they're going to use all of them? I'm trying to figure out if there are goals attached to the vaccine. Okay, you don't know about the goal.
Yeah, I don't either. I haven't followed that aspect of if they've got some type of total number that each state is trying to achieve vaccination. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, no, because, I mean, yeah, where I am, there's no problem getting people to take them. There are lines going out the door with people, you know, making appointments for them. But anyway, okay, and then I'm just going to make a comment, and then I'll be finished. This is a comment, okay? I have observed that there's, I don't know, at least 10% of the workforce, a fair amount of people have transitioned since the COVID outbreak began. Since the state of emergency began, there's a fair number of people that have transitioned into working from home, okay? They used to work from the office. They were sent home and worked from home, and they call it teleworking, or they call it what they call it. But I have to wonder if those people who have transitioned into working from home want the state of emergency extended and are comfortable with, you know, with the situation, with her status, because when you begin to work from home, you may not get even dressed in the morning to go to work, and you don't have a commute. There are other things attached and associated with working from home that you don't get when you work from an office. You just have to wonder whether they've become comfortable with their lifestyle, and they want things to continue the way that they are, and they don't actually want the state of emergency lifted.
That's an individual thing that's going to be worked out, and I don't know how that's going to play out. But I can tell you what, that working from home is not the same as being in an office environment. Okay?
No, of course not. Yeah, because some people that are working from home probably are working in their bare feet all day, don't even bother putting on shoes. But anyway.
But here's the thing. It's not the worker. Thank you, Melissa. Ralph, it's really not the workers that are now making the decision. All these companies are saying, hey, we're still operating. Why do we need to lease a big office and pay for a bunch of computers and pay for connection to the internet and a bunch of phones when we can have our workers work at home and maybe meet at some office once a month, if that, and not have to pay all the overhead? So I think what we're finding is this forced companies to push their workers into a home work environment, and I think a lot of them aren't going to go back. I mean, the commercial rent market has just collapsed in most of these states, especially New York City, because all those companies, they just, if there was anything that was internet-based that they could do their work from home, they just pushed them out into their home environment to work from.
Well, I can tell you one thing, depending on the type of business that you're in, but the type of business I was in wouldn't work. Okay?
Oh, I agree. I mean, I was working where that would work, but I hated it because you just feel totally isolated and you can't just leave your desk and go talk to a manager or talk to your team lead or anything like that. I hated it. And I know most other people really don't like the working from home.
Well, I'm just going to give you one other thing. This COVID-19 is a con. It's another type of flu, and it's made to control people, and it's all a lie because all of a sudden we don't have any flu. It's all COVID-19. It's all. All I can say is run like hell, because what you're being told is a lie. Okay?
Yeah, and on the vaccinations, they're seeing them as experimental. So you are the guinea pig. If you're taking these vaccinations for the COVID, the coronavirus, COVID-19, you're basically signing up as an experimental subject, and they're going to track you for all that. So I'm not ready to be.
It's R, it's mRNA, and they admit that. It's just, they already admit it's not the same as the other type of regular vaccinations or where you take the dead stuff or something. No, it's totally different. Go to those my home page and watch those two videos, and then let me know if you really, really think you want to get involved in that. Okay? Next up, Wayne in Texas. Question, comment?
Ralph,
yeah, hi, Ralph.
You're sounding super choppy. I don't know what's going on with it. It's my end, but it sounds very choppy.
Ralph? Yeah, Ralph, this is Wayne.
Ralph, you want me to drop by, Link? Oh, it's on Mark's head, he said. Okay. Wayne in Texas, you're there. Next question.
Yeah, hi, Ralph. Thanks a lot. And I had maybe a two-part question here on some mask mandates, but just a quick follow-up to Melissa, too. Maybe one that you've already covered this, but Dr. Shirley Tenpenny with Vaxxter.com, V-A-X-X-T-E-R, she has covered the vaccine shot scenario very, very well, and it can be very educational for anyone. And basically, we also found out, I think Jeff Bennett on your network did a show the other day. It says that these vaccines are going to be stripping off some of the protective coatings on our cells that could also increase the risk of cancer. So that's another reason to maybe take a good...
Yeah, and by the way, I'll say I have a video of her on my homepage, AlaskaMinuteman.com. And you get through watching that, and let me know if you want to go get vaccinated.
Yeah, exactly. One quick thing on the EITC. People would be very, very interested to know that illegal aliens under the Obama years were able to do a program very similar, and they could claim children in the U.S. and Mexico, and they were able to get checks upwards of $10,000 from the government based on this similar program. There was an Indianapolis TV station called WTHR.com. If you go there and search illegal aliens exploit tax loopholes, that whole phrase, you'll be able to see how they were able to take advantage of this. And they'll probably bring it back now that Biden's in. But I just wanted to throw that in. So now I wanted to get on to what my call was about. And that is, you still on, Ralph?
Yep, I am in.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, in Texas, they've dropped the mask mandates, and it's going to be effective March 10th, but a lot of us never followed it anyway. But there's still going to be a lot of concern from folks down here about some cities and maybe private companies will still require it to either enter like a store or even go to work, and they're looking for possible remedies there. Plus, part two is there's talk of this COVID vaccine passport that will possibly be needed to go to an airport, a store, a bank. And I was wondering if you have studied this closely and your particular thoughts about changing status to where some of the stuff would not apply to
well,
us.
Let me answer the first one. I already looked at the CDC stuff, and if I get $400 and some, somebody donates it to me, I'm going to take on the Alaska Club. Because they closed down the steam room, and they gave me, I finally got an answer out of them of CDC, and I looked at that, and I said, well, that's a bunch of BS. Where's the science? So they thought I was going to sue them, so they opened it back up. So I said, okay, so where's your science now? Because I'm in fear of my life. I think I can see COVID-19 just tracking me down the halls in your Alaska Club. No answers. And if I get $400 plus, I'm going to go sue them because I have standing to go after the Alaska Club because they're doing all of this nonsense. Number one, the mask, there is no science behind it. It's a crock. The CDC regulations, I looked them up. They have no force and effect of law. And I'm going to get into that because the things that some of the, a little bit of what Biden's doing on executive orders will stand because he undid what Trump did to, like, get the pipeline going to get funding, but the other ones where he orders another agency to do regulations, it's smoke. He can order them to do anything they want, but that agency still has to abide by the Federal Register Act and the APA. And that's a fact. Mm-hmm. There's no getting around.
I see. But also, Ralph, you know, the fact that a lot of these corporations have to follow federal law, and can't we use this public accommodation scenario under, I think it's 28 CFR 36-104, as well as the fact they cannot deny someone from a business or using their services unless they they pose a threat, you know, like you're, you know, walk in with a gun or whatever.
What I would suggest doing is say, you know, I know you're 100% right. Please give me the sources of the science and what you're relying on. See what they give you. If they give you CDC, it's all smoke. Mm-hmm. There is no authority for masks. Period. But you have to get.
What about the passports?
Pardon?
What about the COVID vaccine passports that are probably going to be coming too?
As soon as I look at it, but they can't force us to do it. I'll debunk it. That's what I'm working on right now, and I'm not going to get time today, it looks like, to go over all the stuff that I went to on the Administrative Procedures Act, but highly recommend getting on my list because I'm going to have it documented down to the nth degree, how to look at these regulations, how to look at executive orders to see if they pass muster, and they don't. There's a few of the executive orders do because it's undoing what Trump did. Okay, that you can't do nothing about. But the other ones, these, I've never seen an agency yet make a regulation that has the force and effect of law. And the thing that I'm trying to get people to understand, agencies can only talk through regulations published in the Federal Register. They have to, number one, we have to have knowledge of it. Number two, it has to have the force and effect of law and pass the APA, and they don't do it. It's all a con. But you have to know how to read it. And you can't look at just if it's a CFR. You can't look at the number and see if it what it does. You have to know how to decode them. Now, some of the IRS ones, you can automatically throw them in the toilet. But some of these other ones, like the CDC, which was using 70-point-something, I put that out on my IRS list. And I'm going to put more of it out there. So I get on my list. I highly recommend it. I'm going to be passing this out. I'm going to show people how to use their stuff that they wrote, like what I'm talking about with the voter stuff today, and say, hey, this is what you said. Supreme Court said this. What are we doing here? And the average person, I'm telling you, to figure out the Administrative Procedures Act nonsense, it's not easy, but it's not overly complicated either once you see it, if you get through the nonsense, okay?
Sure. Well, when you look at these executive orders, would you check out the one where Biden's allowing these illegal aliens in, which is a direct conflict with Title 8, Section 1324, where it's against federal law to aid and abet illegal aliens. So how does an executive order triumph federal law, establish federal law?
Well, the only thing that I can tell you is, as soon as I see it, or you give me the executive order number, because I have access to all of them, email me at irs@alaskaminuteman.com, and I'll take a look, and I'll tell you. Okay?
Very good. Okay. Thanks, Ralph.
You bet. Ken in, let's see, wait a minute. Ken in New York, I guess you're up next.
Yep, that's me. I have a question about levies. Now, a while back, I asked you a question if you immediately had to change your status in order to write exempt on the W-4 form.
And no, you
don't. I believe you said, okay, now I want to, good. Now, the question is, just out of spite, cannot the IRS just levy my bank account just to tie me up?
They can do anything they want, but then the thing that you have to understand is, as soon as they start doing that, get a hold of me, give me some paperwork, because number one, here's what you got to remember. The notice is the federal tax lien, the levies, the distraint.
Notice.
The assessments, the notice of deficiencies are all part 301 regulations. They're housekeeping. They're only for internal use only, and they have no application to us.
Okay, so you have to state that. You basically have to go to court to get them to remove the levy?
Not necessarily. Nope. Get a letter, guys, I have to see the letter to know how to respond. And what I've been working on right now is a generic letter that's researched in the nth degree about the Federal Register Act and all that. Which I'm not going to have time probably today to get into it, but they're trying to con it. But the thing to remember is agencies can only talk through regulations put in the Federal Register. That's the first thing to remember. They can't talk to you through statutes, and they send you letters all the time with statutory law. They have no authority. Zero. It's a con. And the Federal Register Act says so in plain English.
So even being a citizen of the United States then still protects you from that.
You do not want to be a citizen of the United States. There's no protection.
Well, I understand. Yeah, but my point is that, going back to the original question, was that you could do it without changing your status, but it obviously would be better if you did. And the other, one other thing, I got my second stimulus, well, actually it hasn't arrived yet, but I got a letter ahead of time, and it came from the IRS, and it said, based on my 19 tax, I believe, that I would be getting the stimulus. I don't know if that's some kind of a con job or not. I didn't ask for it. I mean, if you get a benefit, if you take something and you don't ask for it, is that still taking a benefit?
No, that's fine. I got a stimulus check. I didn't ask for it. It just came.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so, they wouldn't give away money. Hell, why not? They're giving it away to aliens. They're giving it to people in Pakistan and India and building walls over there and building walls in D.C., but we can't build one in Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting because mine says it was based on a previous tax return. Well, I got the letter. I got the letter here, honey.
The status thing, status of a citizen of the United States, each one of these is a separate offer. Everything. Your bank account is separate from your right to vote, from your filing for a 1040. They keep having to ask you to volunteer. It's not a generic one. You do it one place and it covers everywhere. It does not work that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But a good start would be revoking my voter registration, though.
Nope,
I don't think I can.
Nope. Change it. Nope. I've registered in Alaska as a citizen of the United States. I even have a driver's license that way. And I have got to update it, but I've just been so busy with litigation and research, I haven't got to upgrading my status. But the status is self-authenticating, and they don't want to go there.
Right. I'm ready to go whenever you're ready.
Okay, well, I'm going to try to get it done.
Last time I sent you some nickels, was at Walmart, and the woman was asking me questions. She goes, "Do you know this person?" I said, "Yeah, he's my uncle." And she said, "Okay."
Right.
That's why I call you Uncle Ralph. Good night.
There you go. Mark. Just call me Uncle. Yeah, just tell him you got an uncle that's got loose lips and he can't keep government secrets. Well, I'm going to send out these letters. I got to get them done, but I got some other stuff that's of a priority first. But when you understand in the law, you have to build a foundation. And number two, you want to know, just like the lawyers say, you want to know the answers to the questions before you ask them. And they're stuck on this voter thing. Absolutely stuck. There's no way for them. If they don't answer, obviously they cannot answer. But then, we've got to just hound the heck out of them. But I've got to work up a questionnaire for senators, representatives, state and federal. Because we got a problem here, folks. There are no elections for any state officers at all. So therefore, there are no public officers in the several states, which means you have no constitutional courts, you have no constitutional governor, constitutional senators or representatives in the state to begin with. Because there's no elections for them. They can't, if they're all federal, that means, they're, and like they say right here, they're tying the District of Columbia with the several states. That means that's an admission that Congress has plenary power over a citizen of the United States. And you know what? I can prove it. How about those apples? I go to the United States District Court. Not the District Court of the United States. They did away with, they put it in the closet in 1948. It says, this is a statutory 28 U.S.C. 132 judicial power of a district court. Judicial power is only what governments do. We have rights. They have judicial power, executive power, and legislative power. I was getting this, by the way, out of Cruz's book, One Vote Away thing. This old Supreme Court justice that just died. What a crock, what a piece of garbage she was. She was trying to do everything wrong, trying to take away our Constitution. Anyway, judicial power of a district court. Now, the Constitution of the United States is still there, and it also was, they used, ordain and establish. They used it at the beginning, and they used it in Article 3. Why did they use it in Article 3? Because they knew our remedy has to be in courts, and if we have no courts, we have no remedy. I got news for you. We got no remedy because we have no constitutional courts. Because Article 3, Clauses 1 and 2 say judicial power of the United States. Judicial power of what? Of the, that's a prepositional phrase, what government is on the other end? What's the object of the subject? The subject is judicial power. The object is what? The government. What's the government? United States. Judicial power of the United States. So I go to the statutory courts we have today, United States District Courts. They changed them. And they say we did it by accepted practice. That was your authority. You can't believe it. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. I said, so what does judicial power of a district court mean? I got two court cases. Judicial power, the judge is representing the court. The judge is representing the court. And the court is under the plenary power of Congress. It says so in these two cases. So when you go into United States District Court, the judge is representing the court, which in reality is Congress. They print it. I don't think that sounds like an independent judge. What do you think, Mark? Is Mark there? Am I still on the air? Something happened here? I guess I'm on the air. As far as I know, I am. What's going on here? Something going on with my Skype? I'm not sure here. Let me see if I'm still on the air here. Maybe I'm not on the air. I don't know. It says I am, but I'm not sure because nobody's talking to me. Anyway, they admit this. So the question becomes, this all fits together. Because Congress has plenary power over citizens of the United States. That's their Voter Registration Act that they want. In D.C. It's for citizens of the United States that's in D.C. So they got to be the same outside out here where I live. But the problem is, number one, I'm not a qualified elector. I have to sign up for it. I have to volunteer to take on that character to go to the polls. So they're discriminating against citizens of the several states. And that's a fact. That's discrimination. But the thing that is a killer for this, if their act is true, as written, I'm just taking their stuff.
There we go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you, Mark.
All right, great.
Yeah. I mean, we have judicial power of a district court. That doesn't equal, that's a statutory, and the courts have defined it. It says the judicial power is not the judge. He's representing the court. He's representing the district court, and it says that court is under the plenary power of Congress. That should wake somebody up. So if the courts are rigged,
every person going to court should be challenging that right up front.
They're afraid to.
Well, I don't think they know to.
Well, they don't know, but the thing is, what I ran into, just like on the cooperative agreement stuff, these judges, you go into these state courts, they're under the power of cooperative agreements, under the authority. Up here, RCSSD executive has a contract cooperative agreement with the court system, and the judge is audited on the amount of money he makes, and they all split it. I got to get the updated ones. The ones I got are several years older, because the guy that I used to work with, he's gone, and I called down there, and they're playing stupid again. So I got to track it down, because these guys do not want this out. Congress, quite a while long back, $4,000 a head for everyone that's adopted out, $2,000 for the ones that are not healthy, you know, the sicky ones. That's a fact. They have a bounty on adoptions. They set a number, and if you can get over that, you make money selling kids.
Well, once you make it into the child welfare system too, it's really difficult. Years ago, was acquainted with somebody who got called in for spanking his kids, and his attorney, they got it all dismissed and everything, but they picked up his kids and took him to, you know, one of the state-run shelters, and his attorney told him that they have bed mandates. So if they don't have so many children in their beds, they lose money. And he said at the end of the month, they'll start wanting to fill up their beds. So when their monthly reports go out, they can show, hey, we're full, we need more money. So they go looking for ways to round up children, to take them away from their parents, get them in one of these state homes and fill up their bed count. And as soon as this guy found out, he packed up everything, and in 2 weeks, he quit his job and left the state.
Yeah.
He was not going to be part of that system. He was not going to have them come around and knock on his door and have them believe that they could just walk into your house because they say so.
Well, the thing is, I got to use this one time with Alice Brown. We lost in Alaska. As I was learning this, she lost her little girl. She'll never see her again. And she had a boy, little boy out of wedlock, and she got down in Montana. And we brought this issue up, and they wrote her a check for $20,000. And I got the thing where it says it's settled in the PACER. And she packed up, went to California, and she actually lived on the other side of the border in Mexico, because she was afraid they were going to take her son. And then, of course, she got tangled up again here down the road. She, you know, I don't know. There's some people that just, it's their lifestyle when they get on welfare and all this stuff. And anyway, I was helping her a little while, and then I haven't heard from her, so I don't know what she's up to now. But we saved her son up there in Montana because we brought up the cooperative agreement. They didn't want this out in the open. But I had a couple
There was another gentleman. Ralph, there's another gentleman in Oklahoma that you were helping, And his ex-wife dropped her case and back child support and everything because he started bringing that up. And the next thing you know, the ex-wife's attorney and the court, they were ready to drop that case. And it got dropped.
He hasn't been in contact. I gave him a lot of information, and I hadn't heard back from him.
Yeah, that was the last I heard.
They don't want this out there. Because if the people ever found out, they're auctioning our children off for money.
Yeah.
That's a fact. They're selling children for money. You can't make this up. They're tearing up
families. And not to mention now, they're reopening the borders up, and they've got these children coming across with people who aren't even their parents.
Absolutely. See, the status is, that's the issue, is they're all citizens of the United States or under the plenary power of Congress. Because if you get naturalized, you've got to be a citizen of the United States of America.
Wow.
Say that again. I'm sorry, I was talking away. Say that again. Good for him. Texas is one of the few states that's trying to stand up to what's going on in Congress. What's going on with all the... We've got Alaska. God, we got Murkowski. I cannot believe McConnell says we need another Murkowski. You've got to be kidding me. Oh, God. This is just... It's... You just... You cannot... If you were out to destroy a republic and out to destroy Christian values and morals, I don't know what else you could do than what they're doing right now.
What blows me away is you've got other countries like Hungary and Poland that are doing the opposite. And like Hungary, when they were trying to force the Islamic refugees into their country, what they did is they pulled back and created refugee camps. And the European Economic Union was furious because they wanted to overthrow their little country. They wanted to totally destroy their culture, which is really strongly Christian based. Viktor Orban is the prime minister of Hungary, and wow, I mean, he's just stood up for their country and said, we're not going to be destroyed. You're not going to destroy our culture. You're not going to destroy our borders. And so they basically were, they had these influx of refugees coming in. They didn't just turn them over to the population. They pulled them into refugee camps. And so then they started processing them and doing whatever they do, or I don't know what, where they went from there, but they didn't let them just integrate into their population.
That's the first thing. They don't ever integrate. They're there to make sure that they overthrow your republic.
Right.
Because these people have an ingrained, you're up against a religious cult, basically, from the Christian side, pagans. These people have been, especially the two sides to this, the Shiites and the Sunnis, they've been in a pissing match for a couple of hundred years over Muhammad, which was a child rapist and a thief, and they admit it. I mean, this guy was a piece of garbage. They've been fighting, and now we had Trump come in and actually start to get these guys to say, you know, maybe we can quit arguing so much, and we can have peace with Israel, and we can, you know, we can disagree to agree or agree to disagree. And then we get someone like Biden that's just communist China ad nauseum, communist clear to the core. Kamala Harris, I just cannot believe what she is. And we got McConnell. He's got ties. He married a communist China wife. And he's got money in a shipbuilding outfit since 1993. It just never ends.
Hey, we'll be back after this message. Please stand by.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, well, we're back here. There's one thing that I would leave anybody listening. First of all, I highly recommend getting on my IRS list. It's IRS@AlaskaMinuteMan.com. It's $250 postal money order or Walmart. That is the to get a lot of information. And the thing to remember, the thing to really remember, agencies only talk through regulations. Okay? Agencies only talk through regulations. That's it. So all of this nonsense, all of this nonsense of codes and all this other stuff, it is their law in the administrative state. There's only two things that agencies have to do. It's mandated. They have to have a very, they have to be under the Federal Register Act, and they have to be under the Administrative Procedures Act. And the thing to remember is they cannot operate from a general grant from Congress, and neither can Mr. Comrade Biden. There has to be a specific, identifiable grant from Congress to even qualify Biden or an agency to proceed to make a regulation that has the force and effect of law. And I haven't seen one of them yet either. And I've looked at thousands of them. But I am going to be putting this up on my homepage, and explaining it in great depth on my IRS list, because my goal is to get the people of these United States to be able to look at the Biden executive orders and the regulations, because that's how they're coming at us. So we need to understand how to debunk them and prove that they're smoke.
And Ralph, for those people, actually for all the listeners, we have a free email sign up that you can join. If you go to AlaskaMinuteman.com, and you'll see a red button to join the discussion group, join Ralph's discussion group. Click on that, put in your first name and email address. That'll automatically add you to our email list. Now, that's a free sign up. Now, for those who are wanting research that Ralph has done, and trust me, I bought my research, and what you're getting in that, in case law and articles and everything, is just a phenomenal value. It's way beyond the price that Ralph is asking for. So when you get like copies of law dictionaries and just different things that are in there, you couldn't go, it'd cost you a couple thousand dollars to try to replicate what Ralph has put together, not counting the time and hours of legal research and case research that has gone into what Ralph has put together. It's just a tremendous value.
And I do answer questions, but I have to have PDFs sent to me at IRS at Alaska Minutemen. I have to see the documents. That's how you attack these people. And that's how you.
And also, those members that are joining that IRS list and getting that research, you're going to be put into a paid members only discussion group. We're ready to go. We're ironing out the topics that we want to put in there so people can come in and if you're a paid member and you have a topic about the IRS, we can do that. So we're ready to roll, and hope you'll join us there. That's AlaskaMinuteman.com.
Watch out for the federales, and watch out for the Chanklunk, and watch out for Comrade Biden.
Have a good week, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Good night, sweetheart.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.